Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we have a terrific show for you today. Jason Dean is joining us, and he's been on before. We're going to let you, let's put it this way. We'll acquaint you with him if you missed our first broadcast, but first I need to do a little business here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really worried about world famine. I'm really worried about food shortages in this country. I think it's beginning to take shape. I'm also concerned about grid down scenarios because we are so close to war. And if that happens, how will you get your water? So let's package this all into one. You need storable food. That's the bottom line. And so how do you get your storable food at a greatly reduced price with quality? Go to My Patriot Supply, which you can reach at foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. Now, what about the water? Because you'll have to scavenge for water if grid is down. So what will you do? Well, you have the Alexa Pure Pro water filter option, and it's ranked number one. We published the research at waterwithdave.com, and they too have a special, but they have limited supplies. And that is not so true with My Patriot Supply, but it is true with the Alexa Pure Pro water filter. And you're going to want to act quickly. I am really concerned about America's food and water supply. So food is foodwithdave.com. The water is waterwithdave.com. And that takes care of our business for this hour. Jason, glad you could join us here. There's so much to talk about and so little time to do it in. I know you've been at the forefront of looking at nanotechnology, what's happening with agriculture, and the financial crisis. I'm going to give you the option because I think we'll hit all three. Where would you like to start? And then before we jump in, I'd like you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself because you have a pretty impressive background.
Yeah, I mean, we can cover all of them.
Yes, sir.
I've talked about them so much. It's pretty easy to summarize, but also go into detail. I'll give you, about me. My whole life has changed. So it's so hard to say, like, it used to be like, oh, we have one career, and now it's like multiple careers, multiple industries, multiple businesses, et cetera. But, so I'm a doctor of chiropractic. I do nutritional testing, functional nutrition, we call it, a lot of muscle testing, kinesiology, things like that. And, been doing that for a long time with my wife. We're both in that. We have a physical practice in, Central Florida area. But also, even though that's very busy, I've always been in the truth-telling world. And I guess I could say that from a, a internet medium standpoint to podcasting. I started a podcast back in 2016, actually. And I just started off as, trying to get the word out. I kind of saw social media for what it was a long time ago. Now, obviously not one of the very first, but I saw it as such a means for the industry that I'm in to educate people, because there was only a couple people at that time who were doing a really great job of getting the message out. And, anytime you're trying to change something, you can't just have one or two people doing it. You have to have a multitude of people. I mean, like we're doing now, doing this show. I've done other shows as well today, do my own show. And so I started doing that. It wasn't even every day. It was just, maybe once a week, a couple times a week, and I'd, skip a week here or there. But it was talking to moms who, had autistic kids, getting their take on it. I was putting it out to social media, talking to other doctors, other practitioners, et cetera. And I did that for several years until 2020 when the crap hit the fan. And then next thing you know, people were looking for answers. They were looking for not necessarily comfort. They just didn't know what was happening. And so they were looking for someone with some stability. And so I, like you, I've been studying this for a long time. Me not as long as mentors and yourself, but studying it and reading books on global order and everything way before it was, popular. Now today it's pop culture. Like, conspiracy is pop culture. And so I just became a stability point for a lot of people out there. Big show numbers, got banned from everywhere, and now just have my own platform on the new alternative social media platforms. There's a lot more people on that than there were on the old stuff. And so now my day consists of helping people in practice, my own podcast. I do about 10 podcasts a week for other people as well, amongst other businesses we work on. And so that's why I joke. Multiple careers that I didn't even know I was going to be in, but just trying to, it really comes down to the maximum purpose or the overall purpose that my wife and I are both on, as well as the people in our life, are changing healthcare, saving as many children as possible through that healthcare system. And everything we do every day in life, whether it's practice or podcast or whatever else it may be, is really all funneled to that same purpose. So that's a little bit about me, Dave.
Yeah, well, that's quite a bit about you. And that's you are indeed a busy, busy guy. I got to tell you, I don't think – well, I'll back up and I'll say this. The people who are plotting against humanity, and that's how I care to categorize it, they are going for broke. I mean, they're hitting humanity on multiple fronts. Of all the things that you see, what do you think, other than World War III and nuclear war, and that's the obvious one, aside from that, what do you think is the biggest threat to humanity in general?
Oh, that's a great question, because I have a theory.
Okay. All right.
What mediums do you put this out on? Because I have a theory that probably won't shock you, but it might throw people a curveball.
Well, we won't go to YouTube with this. We are on three networks. They don't censor me, and we also have our own podcast service where I'm not censored. So you can say pretty much what you want as long as you don't get a suit.
That's okay. I won't get you sued. The greatest threat to humanity. So from a normal society standpoint, I would say that the greatest threat to humanity would be basically the pharmaceutical or medical industrial complex, which is bigger. It's far bigger than the military industrial complex. But I think the pharma part runs it all, because there's so many avenues to go down on that. But I mean, everything from drugging culture to sick people just from a medical condition standpoint, to the drugging out of consciousness and the spirit. Like, there's so many different ways that pharma hits all areas. So there's that. But from a standpoint of really the biggest threat would be the lack or the undesire, I guess you could say, or lack of desire of people to want to wake up. Really is what it comes down to. There's different levels of waking up. Obviously, some people's waking up is just realizing, oh crap, the elections are stolen, and that's fine. I mean, it's not necessarily the person I want to just hang out with, because I want to go deeper down, you know, theoretical rabbit holes to fix much more at a spiritual level. But it's there's so many people out there who still don't want to see really the deep stuff that really needs to be looked at, you know, whether it's trafficking. I mean, I know people who won't look at trafficking at all. And I'm not saying look at the gory part of it, but just like understand that there is a whole network behind the scenes that people don't know about. And I think that, so I think waking up is really a big, big negative problem that we need more people willing to wake up. And the reason I say that is because I look at the news. I don't look at any mainstream news necessarily. I mean, I'll go on there just to see the ridiculousness of it and see what I have to know. But the ridiculousness of this whole thing in general. But there's stuff going on behind the scenes. And right now they want everyone to be afraid of bank crashes, which obviously is a problem. They want us to be afraid of a coming war, which is definitely a problem. But I've always believed this, Dave, that they're not going to tell you or show you what the real plan is. Like, for example, I'm not a fan of obviously World Economic Forum stuff. Mm-hmm. But my true belief is, I've said this on my show, Klaus is not high up on the ranks. Like, Klaus is not a big deal. Like, I'm not going to go hang out and have dinner with him. But Klaus Schwab is not. George Soros is not that big of a deal. George Soros is a puppet. He's a easy enemy because he looks horrible. So does Klaus. But they're not going to tell you their actual plan, in my personal opinion. Therefore, what are they doing? Well, then they're sounding the alarm bells. They're sounding World War III bells. They're sounding nuke bells, etc. I actually think, Dave, that they are getting ready to throw the bank crash at us and to throw the potential of World War III nuclear warfare at us, which is actually going to be a deception. And that deception is to get us into a central bank digital currency, which will probably fail, but will get us into this system over the next 5 to 10 years, which really, I mean, America is going to look amazing the next 5 to 10 years. You probably have Trump come back. I believe they're setting up, and this goes back to the old school Albert Pike, like Freemason plan, which was start a third world war. So what do? You throw a curveball to threaten a war, but you don't actually have it, so people get more comfortable on both sides of the aisle, right? The public. And then what you do is they might actually get a depression down the road, an actual real Great Depression, like it's bigger than the last one. But what you do is you pull them into this false sense of security that America kind of won. I know this is really kind of a sinister way of looking at it, but this is the stuff I researched, right? To then pull the wool over and go for the quote-unquote ultimate deception. What they want and what was designed was a third world war between Christianity and Islam. That was the actual intention way back in the – I think it was the 1800s. It might go back before that. And what they'll do, they'll set up a nationalistic mindset in America, promote America like crazy – just to actually get us ready for the war of all wars. I'm hoping this doesn't happen, Dave. But this is where my mind goes, which you're like, wait, I wasn't even planning on talking about this. This is craziness. But that's kind of what I've been studying lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I'm wondering, though. Aren't we close enough to all-out nuclear war where they've already accomplished the goal? Just someone needs to push the first button?
We could be. We could. Did you see that Putin has an arrest warrant today?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, so actually all major news channels, I was actually doing my show earlier, and about 1:30 or so, my assistant goes, hey, there's a arrest warrant. I thought it was some random like alternative news site that was kind of just like joking or kind of get clickbait. And I just Googled it, right? Every single major news channel, if you Google it, a few hours ago, a international arrest warrant for Putin for war crimes.
Who's the originator of the warrant?
I'd have to go look at that. I didn't check it out, but it was definitely carried by CBS, ABC, Fox, I think carried it. So I was like, oh, wait. Now, again, obviously mainstream media, I don't necessarily trust them. But when they go like that, they are definitely, Dave, whether my theory is right or not, they are carrying us down a world war strategy plan. Because if you're threatening international crime against him at this point, war criminal, whether he's a good guy or bad guy, it doesn't matter. Whether you're going that way, that means countries are gathering basically NATO, United Nations forces to start up something not so good.
I got it here. It's from The Hague.
Okay.
International Criminal Court issues arrest warrant for Putin over Russia's alleged war crimes in Ukraine. You know, it's kind of like the winner is going to determine who the war criminal is. I mean, that's to me what this is about, because when you're in a war, war crimes are part of a war. That's the bottom line. You have situations where you don't take prisoners, where civilians get in the way. I'm not buying this, and I'm not defending Putin. I'm just saying, you're going to tell me that the Ukrainian army is not doing the same thing?
Oh, 100%. That's what, and again, it's a, for no pun intended, a trumped up news article. However, if the mainstream is running with it, Dave, you know they're trying to send a message to the public out there. They're trying to get the American people now on board, and you're going to have other countries that jump in. They're going to make themselves known. The war drums are being beaten.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. The court issued rush warrant for war crimes based on his alleged involvement in the abduction of children from Ukraine, but they don't offer details, of course. And I don't know if they're trying to say he's trafficking. Well, okay, let's have the kettle call the pot black, right? I mean, give me a break.
That's called classical projection there.
Yeah, well, the West was trafficking kids out of Ukraine before Zelensky ever came to power.
Yes.
This is ludicrous what I'm reading here. And do I think it's happening? Oh, I do. But I don't know that he's trafficking. There could be a number of reasons. I know he thinks that a lot of people in eastern Ukraine want to be part of Russia. That seems to be true. They speak Russian. So if he's transporting people in mass, are they calling that the war crime? I mean, it's so nonspecific here. I can't wrap my mind around it. The one thing I do know, though, and I think you'll find this interesting, and a lot of people didn't see this, excuse me, ex-Prime Minister Bennett from Israel came out about a month ago, and I covered this, and he said he had a ceasefire negotiated between Zelensky and Putin. He only had to promise or get a promise from Putin that Zelensky would not be killed. Biden intervened and told Zelensky, you do this, you're on your own. And that killed the peace agreement. I don't know if you came across that or not.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't a peace agreement. It was a ceasefire. I want to be very accurate what I'm saying here, but it was a ceasefire. And this is from the ex-Israeli prime minister, so we're not talking an alternative website.
So it would have been done just like that?
Yes. They would have had a ceasefire. And you know, you look at it by – can you even name one thing that he has done – to mitigate the conflict? It's always been, we're going to get you, we're going to get you. That's all it's been.
Oh, of course. Of course. They have so many crimes over there, Dave. They have so much embezzlement of fun. I mean, it's not even, let's not even use the word embezzlement at this point, because the amount of money that they've funneled over there is not even that word anymore. It's such a, I mean, everything is complete treason. I mean, honestly, you probably have to expect him to do that. Because that's the only way he's saving himself. I feel like DC is on the run right now from a standpoint of, I mean, there's so much information coming out about obviously the corruption, et cetera. So he probably had no other choice but to get Zelensky to, I mean, they can't have peace. Plus they make so much money off peace or off of war. I mean,
yes. Well, that's obvious. They're going to, even if a peace agreement was on the horizon, I believe you and I wouldn't know, because the military-industrial complex would want to stoke the fear to maximize the profits until the last minute.
Correct. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is – man, it's – I don't like to laugh at it, because it's obviously not a laughing matter. But like this – the Ukrainian war, I mean, it's – I can't honestly believe we're in it, honestly, sometimes. Like we're really – like when Zelensky came to the U.S. – I'm not personally in agreement with anybody other than a U.S. official ever addressing Congress in the halls of or in the chamber, right? So that's just me. The fact that Zelensky came, a quote unquote president wasn't there. Zelensky's addressing Congress. They're applauding him, clapping for him, and then they adorn the front area with the Ukrainian flag. That's why I sometimes have to laugh, because I go, is this really occurring? I mean, because this seems like a complete, I mean, all the world is a stage mindset here.
Yeah, we have no treaty agreement with Ukraine. They're not part of NATO. There's no justification for us to be doing what we're doing.
And also, by the way, because my assistant producer, she really dives into the legal aspects of this. Also, anytime money is sent over anywhere, especially if you're obviously holding up another country, Congress by law, and obviously we don't follow the law anymore, but Congress is actually supposed to approve every single allotment that's sent over. They haven't approved anything since like way back to before the Iraq war. Nothing's approved anymore. They just sign off on it and it goes over there. It's completely illegal, every penny that they're sending over right now, because you should have to actually get it approved by Congress.
I'm aware of that. The War Power Act and everything else, we're not following the law about anything.
I know. That's why I said it doesn't matter. We're not following the – I mean, did you see the banks other than the probably 10 banks that that put money in to buy out First Republic?
Yes. $30 billion.
That's also illegal. That has to go through Congress.
And did the Federal Reserve approve that?
I don't know. I think that they finally did, but that's my assistant was also saying, she's like, that's actually unconstitutional. That's got to go through Congress to do that.
I hear you.
Yep. No, it's good. I mean, this is the insanity we're in, Dave. Aren't you having fun?
Here's what I have to say about having fun. Zelensky keeps referencing using Americans in the conflict.
Our
adult children. And this is where yours truly takes to the streets. This is, you know, and I've never engaged in violence, but I will engage in extreme civil disobedience and I will be encouraging everyone to do the same thing. Not one American soldier to Ukraine to fight.
Correct.
Not one. Not one. And that's my line in the sand with this government. And that's the point where I stop paying taxes, I stop being a compliant citizen, and I just do what I want to do. And I have a feeling I'm not going to be alone in that.
No, we're I've actually discussed that with some people, because the question is at this point, from a let's talk a tax standpoint. Obviously, taxes are unconstitutional to begin with, but we're all doing it only because we don't feel like going to jail right away. I said, but there has to be a line in the sand to where American people, because you can't one person. I mean, they've tried to try to stop paying taxes, and they end up in lots and lots of trouble, right? So, but they can't stop groups and multiples, right? So I said, there's got to be a line in the sand somewhere this year, next year, whatever it is. Where do we stop? Where, like you just said, right? Where do we stop? Because at this point, we have an overt pedophile slash criminal, treasonous, whatever you want to call it. You can call a multitude of things. And that's just, it's not just him. It's Congress. There's members of Congress, vice presidents, his staff, et cetera. At some point, people have to stand up and go, okay, we're done with everything across the board. But you have to do that in groups. You can't do it one by one. We have to go in large numbers so that they can't actually stop us. But I agree. Like, the line in the sand, is it the vaccine bioweapon? Is it more money over there? Is it American lives sent over? At some point, we all have to say we're done, and not be physically violent, but just mentally go, okay, we're done. We're not doing it anymore.
Well, the violence issue will be decided by the Biden administration, and they've already shown their wherewithal with this. I interviewed a lady from Colorado about a year and a half ago, Sharona Bishop. She was going around to school districts and educating the parents about what their rights were with regard to school curriculum and open records laws. And the FBI kicked in her door, put guns to her kid's head, manhandled her teenage daughter, and they didn't even have a warrant when they entered her premises. And that's the violence card. And then, of course, they've done the same thing to pastors who pray in front of abortion centers. So I think that the other side has already shown what they're going to do. And all I can think of is this. And you gotta remember, I'm someone who never, never, never advocates for violence. But the words of Solzhenitsyn come in. If this is how they're going to act, Solzhenitsyn said we should have grabbed the pokers from the fireplace and slowed them down, because maybe we could have stopped it. And and this is really the position that the Biden administration is going to put America in. America, I believe, is going to be put in a position where they have to decide, are we going to fight back or lay down and take our beating?
I agree. I 100% agree. There's something has to crack at some point.
Yeah, they'd listen to this, change my words on the recording, and then they show up at my house for terroristic threatening. I mean, this is what I think of this government. And I haven't had a speeding ticket in 40 years. So I have to say, I have no criminal record. I don't advocate for extreme things, but I am done capitulating to a criminal regime.
I agree. 100%. I discuss this pretty regularly with my wife about the same thing. I'm like, yeah, we're done. I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, one of the things that's crossing my desk, and it's from reliable think tank sources that I get to talk to regularly, and we're talking a combination of doctors, economists, and military types, is they believe coming out of China is another pandemic, because the world is rising up in rebellion. There's over 43 countries that are in protests against their government right now. And what they're talking about, it's hemorrhagic fever combined with smallpox, which really makes it an Ebola type of concoction. Have you heard anything about this?
Yeah, Marburg is what I've heard.
Marburg is exactly what they're calling it. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what you're gonna have. You're gonna have literally people bleeding from their orifices. That sounds horrible, but that's what you'll actually have. There's actually a story. I think it was, let's say, 6 months ago, roughly. That I actually talked about in a different show, where they were talking about taking something out of the Arctic or out of the ice. Now, whether they did it out of the ice or not, that's just part of the story. But they talked about a Marburg type viral pattern, Marburg type situation. So they've been planning this for a long time. They know. But keep in mind, everyone's rising up. People are not happy. They're going to try to crush dissent. That's what they do. So they'll try for that would mean they'll try for the next lockdown.
Well, that's what I think is coming, and that's and then of course I'm hearing about the camps that are springing up. We call them FEMA camps in the vernacular, but they're really quarantine camps under HHS and the United Nations partnership. And but here's the problem with this. I've been researching this for 10 years, and I've connected with a FEMA official who's retired, and she said, Dave, you're right on the money. She said, look at who the participating agencies are. There's 17 of them, and not one of them is a medical group. Not one. They're all law enforcement.
Means they'll be rounding people up.
There you go. That's exactly my conclusion.
By force.
Yeah, it's called
now,
ESF.
They're going to have a problem with that, though.
Well, that's when the gloves come off. That's what we're looking at having happening here. And I think this is maybe a contingency plan. See, I look at all the ways they're attacking us, Jason, and they can't do it all at once. I think some of this we're seeing crop up in terms of executive orders and legislation. I think they're contingency plans. So if A doesn't work, they go to B or they go to C. But they're making their move. Would you agree with that?
No, 100%. The problem is probably one of the biggest groups out there, not necessarily organized completely, but biggest group, bigger than our military, is our veterans.
7 million fighting age. Yeah,
they're going to have a lot of problems there. I always go. It's a safe haven for me, whether it's an illusion or not. Safe haven for me is I really don't personally believe our military. Definitely our veterans won't, but our military won't turn on us. And again, I'm not necessarily staying comfortable with that, but it's a hope in my mind that I know veterans will stand up. But I have a hope that military will follow, you know, their real orders. But no, it's hard for me to, Dave, even comprehend seeing authorities on the street trying to take in Americans to FEMA camps. It's not something I've thought about it, but it's so hard to get that picture, right? Because of everything we had hoped our nation stood for, even though we knew we had tons of problems.
Yeah, but if you call it medical quarantine, Jason, it becomes a horse of a different color.
Oh, well, yeah. No, if you're – then you have China written all over it, because that's the Chinese going there for their quarantine camps all the time because they think that they're being taken care of.
Exactly. Well, I've seen videos. I did an interview with a guy, ex-Intel, and guy, he had some video he showed on my TV show, and people were resisting being taken.
They
were resisting at the camp as well. Yeah. So it's not all hunky-dory. People believe it. The Chinese feel about their government like we do. We've come to mistrust everything about our government, and for good reason. And I think that the roundups, when they're quarantine roundups, unless you're really horribly sick, I don't see people willingly going. I think that the awareness is too high now. That people aren't going to leave their homes and say, hey, come with us, we'll take care of you. Especially if the banks fail, if the food supply is limited. I mean, if we start seeing some real deficits, the government trust is going to go to zero, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. No, if there's a saving grace on this, the fact that this took 3 years to get put in, Americans are pretty upset for the most part. And I say Americans, I would say patriotic Americans, not everybody is, but even liberals at this point now, I know a lot of liberals are waking up too to see what's going on. I almost think the play for another quote unquote pandemic, even if it gets really bad looking, I wonder if enough people woke up that if we tried to get authorities in the streets to carry people into chemo camps or medical camps, I don't think enough people will go along with it. But this is how I look at government too. They're never successful at anything, right? So I hold that in the back of my mind, the fact that, you know, they don't carry out plans well necessarily. Meaning, mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll do it, but it will be very, very unorganized. They already have a country, you know, America already. America is so rooted spiritually in our rebelliousness. And so I hope, I guess, that the idea of people taken into a camp is so against that deep, deep root of the fact that, you know, we really, really love this country. We believe we're just like the best ever. And God designed this thing, that would make this thing go very wrong for them. And it just would not go off as planned. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Or they have to get two undesirable groups to fight against each other.
Right.
I think that would be their strategy. They don't care about American law enforcement, American military.
Right.
If they take to the street. And by the way, your statement earlier, I want to respond to this. You said that you hope that American soldiers would do the right thing. I can tell you for a fact this is true. Now, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, maybe with the possible partial exception of the Navy Secretary, who's even questioned sending all the weapons to Ukraine, we are. But the rest of them, like Milley, they're all compromised by China. And this is something I'm getting from retired military. Some of them are still active duty. And they all believe the same thing, that they're as compromised as Biden is. But they said at the lower levels, like your division commanders, your task force commanders at sea, a lot of them are extremely loyal, and they have had discussions about when China attacks, and this is the focal point discussion, when China attacks, what they're going to do. They're not going to obey orders. And the one thing that, you know, at least not obey orders to commit suicide or to stand down. And one of the things, I was talking to someone, and I can't specify how close my relationship is with this person, but it's pretty close. And they're ex-military. And this person started to tell me the exact same story I'm hearing in these think tank groups I get to go to. And he's saying it word for word for word. And then he stopped himself in mid-sentence and says, "Oh my God, I forgot what you do." He goes, you can't use my name in this or talk about the bases I was at and so forth and so on. And so I'm getting this confirmed in so many ways. So I think your hope that the American military will rise up is true. And I'll give you one more proof for this. Jade Helm 15 and 16 and the Robin Sage drills from a year and a half ago in North Carolina all practice the same thing. Ex-American military standing up to the government.
Absolutely. Now, I've heard so many different viewpoints on this. I'd love to get yours. Do you think we still have the greatest military power, is my understanding, in the world? If a China tried approaching our shores, land, water, air, would they even do it? Do they even have the ability or confidence to try to take that on?
Yes and no.
Okay, because I've heard no. I've heard no a lot.
Here's the no. The no is the Space Force and the part of the submarine force that Obama and then later Biden could not penetrate. They can replace certain people, but they don't change the overall structure. The Space Force used to be the secret Space Force. And I know a lot about this because my dad worked in secret with captured German scientists, and they facilitated that organization with technology that did not go to NASA. And there's that my views on this are pretty well known. I had to be quiet on this for about 30 years because my mom was still alive and she'd have lost my dad's pension. Well, now we're kind of beyond the reach of the government, so I'm able to talk about what I've been told. And what I've been told is being confirmed by a lot of military people. That's why I get invited to these groups, private groups, to talk. But you're right. We have the technology to decimate China, and a lot of it can be done from space. I mean, we can just drop the rods from God. You don't even need...
That's right.
You don't even need technology, but they have the technology that's advanced. There are fleets of ships up there. They are armed. There are nuclear weapons in space. That you can take to the bank. Now, with the submarine fleet, they have their own military code of justice. They have basically their own uniforms. And I'll tell you how it goes. This is what I've been told a number of times. You have a guy coming in, and he's a Biden guy. And you may have four executive officers on board a submarine. And they meet in the wardroom, and they say, okay, here's our procedure for going to war. Here's the two-keyed approach or whatever approach they're using, because they have more modern ones now. And they tell them, if you go against the wishes of the captain, if you go against the preservation of the country and the ship, we will kill you on the spot. And these conversations happen on board some submarines. I know, because I've talked to people who've been part of it. So to answer your question, The answer is yes, we have the technology to repulse both Russia and China, not conventionally, but with our technology and basically what I'd call our super weapons. But I'd also say no, because how much can someone like Biden undermine that aspect of the military?
True. That's, oof, man.
You're kind of in my wheelhouse there. That's, I didn't mean to go in depth there, but that's kind of my wheelhouse of experience.
I've just heard it so many back and forth, and I typically hear it's a no, that just no one still would mess with us. But that makes sense. And, you know, it's most likely why you never, when they make a public announcement like Trump did with Space Force, which most people don't realize Space Force was behind the scenes. I mean, military is so advanced behind the scenes. He was basically just showing it, you know, for the first time where people could see it.
He did it for funding from Congress. Yeah.
Right. You know, when he did that, you know that it's done for an actual reason, not just like, oh, hey, look, we have Space Force. Like, there must have been something. He knew something was coming, basically. That's what I would say.
Well, the other side has their plan, too. The right. Open borders is an absolute fifth column betrayal of the United States national security. Right. The number one apprehended racial group right now on the border are national Chinese. And here's the thinking. There's two schools of thought on this. And the most dominant school of thought that I believe in is this. They want to try to be in position to occupy as many American cities, even attack military bases, control police departments. I've even heard this from the Texas Rangers. They know about this. And they're hoping to leave an America that no one can come back to. So if you're in the Space Force or the submarine fleet, for example, you can't come back to this because your country has been destroyed internally. And then there's the cultural revolution they're trying to, you know, with all the crap they're doing to kids in schools, all the perversion that's coming out. And so they're basically trying to do a Maoist cultural revolution, too. So there's no America for these military to protect. That's their side of it. And this is what Biden's facilitating with open borders.
Gee, I didn't know that about the Chinese nationals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of my broadcast partners, I do a show called the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And Doug Thornton's ex-DHS, ex-combat Marine. And he still has a lot of contacts in the government, Border Patrol and DHS as well. And we've been talking about this for about a year.
Jeez.
If the Chinese are rampant and the Russians are coming across too. I mean, it's OTMs. It's other than Mexicans for the most part.
Which is interesting because the media won't tell you that at all.
Well, they don't want you to know what they're up to.
Everything is a deception, Dave. Everything is a deception.
Well, okay, they're running guns and kids. Everyone knows this.
100%.
Okay, but who's running the guns and kids? The cartels. Who controls the cartels? China.
Of course.
Okay, so these are self-perpetuating, independent military operations. And I've been saying this, I've known about this for probably a dozen years. One day we're going to wake up and we're going to have a Tet offensive in this country that we're going to be attacked on multiple fronts across the board all at one time. And there's a lot of people that feel like I do, like this, that are in the military or recently retired. We're in for a hell of a fight. We really are.
Man, that's an interesting. That'll be a studying thing for me this weekend to learn more about that, because that was not something. It's new information. It's very interesting, but it also makes a lot more sense on why certain things are happening right now and why it goes the direction it seems like it's going.
Well, Biden doesn't need immigration to control elections anymore. They've stolen the election process.
Correct.
They can win an election if they get 30-40% of the vote, because that's what happened in Arizona's governor's race.
That's right. Yep. No, they, yeah, you're right. Once they have that, that the game is over. That's why that's so important. The game is over. They control the whole thing. So they can put on fraudulent elections till the cows come home and make people think that, you know, that's what's happening and that's what's winning, because they have it captured. So now they just have to have all the other things handled. And then that's how you ultimately grab the last free country on earth.
Well, yeah, and it's camouflaged by immigrants who've been told America wants you, come here, build a life for yourself, because most of them aren't bad people. They're doing what they're told to do in their home country. Come to America, you can be like immigrants before you, and your kids will live a better life than you are. But they mask what's really going on under the scenes. The cartel influence, I don't know if you've seen this or not. Have you heard of the Brager Report?
The what report?
Brager?
Not the Brager Report, no.
Oh, Jason, this is incredible. I've uncovered cartel activity in Arizona politics. I did that in the 2020 election, and it led to a near assassination of a colleague of mine. In fact, the case is being adjudicated right now. But the Brager Report was a report that was issued by a lady named Jacqueline Brager, and she was a representative of a nonpartisan law firm run by John Thaler, who I'm trying to get on my show. And John did all this research and found that the cartels are bribing politicians and judges. They place them in positions with this money that they use. They launder overpriced real estate, and they create phony mortgage companies and fake signatures. And
yep.
There was thousands of pages of documentation. I've read through it. I knew probably 10% of this report. And what I was told, Dave, you're so extreme in what you believe. And here comes a report that goes way beyond what I knew. And this report was issued to the Select Committee for Election Integrity for Arizona elections in the state legislature. And the lady who brought this other lady in, her name's Liz Harris, and she and I used to do presentations like to the Arizona Tea Party, and she canvassed Maricopa County in 2020 and found 90,000 fraudulent votes for Joe Biden, which swung the election, and she managed to get elected to the legislature. And she brought this person in, and this is causing big damage control here in Arizona. It's not just Arizona, it's in 26 states. But the presentation was in Arizona, so they focused on Arizona. So what we're talking about are cartel controlled by China that are coming in, and they're using these laundering operations to control politics. The governor was named in Arizona, $500,000 worth. The Secretary of State, we already know about him. He defended the agents that killed Brian Terry in Fast and Furious, and Brian Terry was a Border Patrol agent. And it goes right down the line. It would probably be easier to find a politician in Arizona that is not on the take. It's just incredible what's going on.
Jeez.
And that's called the Brager Report. I think it's Breger.
That sounds like that could be connected to, because you talked about like the financial part of that. There's stuff going on up in New Hampshire that's horrible. Using drug treatment facilities, mortgage, auto dealerships, etc.
There you go. That's how they launder the money. There you go.
There's a whole thing in New Hampshire how that's happening, yeah. And how New Hampshire is an epicenter of this, and it goes all the way up to Trump, and not Trump being involved in it, but necessarily. I don't know that part of it, but it's very, very deep, and that's how you get in the it's drug cartels. Also, you have trafficking. Ghislaine Maxwell's involved. It's a whole thing. It's insane. Like, I just learned about it within the last, say, month, and it's a deep dive.
Yeah, 4 years ago, there was a guy named McFarland. Now, he's flipped. He's on the other side because they threatened his life. But he came out and says, I want to know where 500 missing kids are from CPS. And it's a CPS cartel operation. And he spoke openly about it, was covered in the media. They tried to paint him as an extremist. And this lady who was on the head of the CPS committee in the legislature in Arizona was named Sue Brophy. She came out and she told him to shut up. She said, you're wrong. And then privately, he claimed that she threatened his life. She said, you won't live to see tomorrow if you don't stop. That was his claim. So this has been going on now for a number of years in Arizona. But New Hampshire is one of the states. I'm looking right here. New Hampshire is one of the states. You're absolutely right.
Wow. Yeah. So that makes sense.
The Brager Report details 26 states. So,
wow.
But you know what could head all this off? The pathogen. What would you do? What you know, you're into nanotechnology. I mean, you know about the banking crisis. You know about big pharma. What would you do if you were the other side right now? And the people are waking up. How would you bring the people under control?
So it's a good point, because I talk about this a lot. So he goes back to an age old game, which is, and I use this just as an easy reference, but I used to play video games with my brother, and we would go back and forth. He'd win one, I'd win one, he'd win one. And then all of a sudden we'd get tired, and you know, you couldn't win no matter what. And so you didn't want to lose. So you knew you couldn't win, but you didn't want to lose. You didn't want them winning. So you go over and you just pull the plug out of the wall, right? shuts the whole thing down. And I say that as a joking example. What these people will do is they know that we have won. And when I say that we have won from a spiritual, from a consciousness standpoint, right? People are enough people have woken up by now. And obviously every little next step they take, there's going to be that line in the sand and we're just done. So they know. So what's going to happen? They are literally willing to destroy the game board. The game board is the planet. I mean, it comes, that's what it comes down to, our country, the planet, et cetera. What will they throw? They will throw another. So the pandemic they can't do because, well, they can do a pandemic. They can't do a simple one like a COVID because it just made people sick. They you know, it's kind of a flu. Like the Marburg thing, literally people will be bleeding. Like it's going to look, it would look scary. It would look like almost like a, they nickname it a zombie virus. So that would take it to a next level of fear where people would freak out. You'd have the same problem you had last time because now people are seeing a physical ailment that includes blood, which scares the hell out of people, right? So you have that. Then, honestly, I mean, you could pull, when I say the alien card, I don't mean it in a like a cartoonish manner. They have some crazy technology that they could make some crazy stuff look like it's real. Not that we're going to, you know, be fooled by it, but they just need the mass public to be fooled by it, which they'll get. And then ultimately, you're talking nukes and H-bombs. I mean, they don't care. They don't care so much to the point they're willing to destroy the whole thing. And so do I want that to happen? Not really, obviously, because that's crazy. But I only say that out loud, one, obviously, because you ask. But two, I want people to get really a gravity, not a fear situation, but a gravity of the idea that they really want us gone. They don't want humans around. Mm-hmm. So what will they do? They will blow the whole thing up, Dave. That's what they would do.
Like a nuclear war.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tend to agree with you. I was interviewing Susan Swift today, and she's exposing a lot of the, let's say, questionable abortion practices in California, and she has formed an organization against it. And we talked about, what do you think the origination point is here of this? Why are they doing what they're doing? They promote transgender, they promote LGBTQ, and we both agreed. The one thing that all these subgroups that are being cherished and honored and promoted for special privilege by the government, they all fail to end in childbirth. And we use the word depopulation. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's ultimately depopulation. But I think they actually fear us. I think they're, when it comes to it from a spiritual standpoint, a conscious standpoint, I think that they're so low vibration. So they're such degenerate people that they actually fear happy people. I know that sounds super simplified and it sounds almost like, no, that can't be it. They fear people who actually like believe in God, spiritual, have a faith, have a belief system, have a purpose in life, etc. They fear us, right? So ultimately, how do you get rid of that? And by the way, they're channeling some weird demonic stuff behind the scenes that a lot of people don't necessarily know about. So they're really practicing in mixed occult, like just horrible stuff, so dark. So yes, they are that sick and sadistic, but ultimately when you're that sick and sadistic, you think a happy person is your enemy, right? So anything at all to destroy happiness. Isn't that kind of a really messed up way of life, Dave?
Well, if you believe, I'll give you a spiritual way to look at this, and I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just saying this is what I'm beginning to wonder out loud. I've expressed this. This is a wondering. This is like a hypothesis. But when I read Genesis 6 in the Bible, it's really clear that when the fallen angels came here, they obviously would have been different DNA. They impregnated earth women. Then the flood came because God had to wipe these creatures out. But the DNA survived, and that's in the Bible. And what I'm wondering today is if we're not facing the remnants, the descendants of that alien DNA, you know, in the war against God with one-third of the angels cast down in Genesis 6, and they're going against humanity. I mean, I don't know if I could prove that, but I would tell you it makes sense because humanity is on the chopping block today.
100%. No, we've talked about this the first time we ever chatted, which was a while ago. Absolutely, 100%. But that is the part that they don't want anybody else knowing about, so no one looks into that. That's for some of us, Dave, that you know, are so fascinated by stuff and really, really want to know truth that we dive down into that world. But yeah, absolutely, that's exactly where they go to. I mean, there was things in, I remember Clinton's emails and things like that, talking about stuff like Gilgamesh's tomb. I mean, they really are. It's back in that day and age that no one really knows about because they're not willing to look. They're, you know, they become fat and happy in Netflix. And we're playing a whole different war and a whole history that people are not aware of.
No, well, listen, I could not agree with the way you just twisted that about playing in a war that we're not aware of. And I'm not saying that I'm correct on this, but here's the fundamental question we're left with. If you had told me that the World Economic Forum and the interests that they represent, because they're simply merely an administrative arm, but the interests that they represent, I could understand why they might want to enslave humanity for their profit and benefit, why they might want to seek to control everything to eliminate all competition. But why seek extermination of the human race? And this is what we're kind of bordering on right now. And
I believe that's what they're commanding to do.
Yeah. And see, then to me, the word Satan comes into my mind because human beings, even when they seek to dominate, they don't seek to do what the World Economic Forum is advocating for. By the way, did you see they came out 2 days ago and said that they wanted policies in the West to limit one child per white family?
Mm-hmm.
Per white family.
Of course.
I want to emphasize that, per white family.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's all an agenda, man. All an agenda.
Well,
people have to wake up.
So when you put, because you know, your list of expertise here is really impressive. I mean, you've got 6 or 7 things that you put out there a lot. Okay. So you really think they're going to try to blow things up. How do they escape their bad acts? Or are they so evil it doesn't matter to them about self-destruction?
They're so self-destructive. They're not even conscious of that, I don't think. Plus, honestly, like you were just saying, they answer to something that's not from here. They answer to a realm that's not from here. They answer to something so dark that we don't even comprehend it. I don't even think we all, which on the next show we'll talk about this and go down a deep, deep hole. They communicate with something that I don't personally. This is my viewpoint on it. That we can't even comprehend of because we are such a higher frequency, higher spiritual soul that we can't imagine what they actually are communicating with, if that makes sense.
Or who inhabits their bodies and controls
their
actions.
Correct. Yeah, who inhabits their body, who controls it, who commands it, whatever that is.
What do you think about CERN? Do you think CERN plays a role in any of this?
Oh yeah, they're playing with stuff. I think they already figured that stuff out. I don't think that they're looking for it. I think that they're actually just messing with other dimensions and messing with other entities. I think that's part of their game. I think that's what they do, and I think that they're, again, I think they're communicating back and forth with things that are definitely not from here that guide their decision making. I don't think they're that smart. I think they're taking orders from something else.
Let me tell you how long this has been going on. I have a very good friend, ex-NSA, ex-NATO, and he was assigned and attached to a NATO unit in Brussels. And real good friends with the senior non-com at the time, who I got to know, Bob Dean. But his name's Vance Davis. And this is 1988. And Vance and a group of 6 other people were told to start conducting experiments on Ouija boards. And this is after they were taught how to remote view. And they refused. And they were told, well, you'll be court-martialed. So they go to the ends of the earth. They all desert. They walk away from their post because they're not going to do this. And they were all Christians, and that's why I think they were picked. And that's what they think, too. Well, they're all caught. They're put in solitary confinement by H.W. Bush. And one day, without any warning, he just lets them out. And I asked Vance, I said, Vance, why do you think they did that? He said, we didn't have the NDAA then where they could just lock us up permanently. He said they could have killed us, but it would have been a tough cover-up because he said people knew that we left. And I said, so what was HW after? He says he didn't want discovery and trial. They didn't want the other side to know we were messing with Satan.
Jeez.
That's from Vance Davis. And by the way, this is how credible Vance is. He wrote a book. And he talked about the fact that they were taught in their training that the bad guys wanted to capture the human soul. And he said this goes back to Genesis 6 and the fallen angels, but they couldn't do it, so they invented morphing human beings. This was 15 years before the word transhumanism came into vogue.
Yep. We should do a whole show on this.
Oh, we're going to. Dave. Hey, I want people to be able to follow you because you're so darn interesting. Tell me how people can follow Dr. Jason Dean.
Yeah, just head over to bravetv.com, podcast 5 days a week at noon Eastern time. Everything can be found there. All the social media can be found there. We go into a lot of this stuff on the regular show, and we just have a blast. And it's all about education. It's all about empowering people. So bravetv.com, simplest way to get me.
We're going to do this again, my friend. We've been speaking with Dr. Jason Dean, bravetv.com. Fantastic stuff, Jason. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for having me as always, Dave. I appreciate you.
Thanks.